Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Folks, welcome back to the Doggy Pod. This is Dr. Rob Zammit, and it's good to be back here talking to you.
It is Dr. Rob Zammit. Where have you been, Rob? Sorry, I'm Dr. Rob Zammit's producer, Stephen Peters. And you haven't been on the air for a couple of weeks, Rob.
No, look, we've been busy at work, busy helping out at some shelters as well. I do volunteer work at various shelters, so been helping out there, and also helping you with the movie.
Oh, yeah,
it's coming, folks. It's coming. I'm telling
I
you.
I think we've been saying
it's going to be here this year.
yes, we've got a little bit more filming to do. Maybe only 2 days, I think, and that might be it. So basically, 95% of the movie is in the can. We've already started editing, and it's looking good. It's looking good. But anyway, we're not here to talk about the movie.
No.
we'll do lots of that later on. One of the things we're going to talk about in this episode is we get asked, I know Rob does, particularly get asked a lot by people who are wanting to get a dog. They've either had one before or they want to get another one, or they're new to the joys of owning a dog and are really torn between wanting to get one from a dog rescue place, because they love the whole idea of that, but worried about, one, not having as much choice. They might want a mm-hmm. particular cute little dog, or they might want a puppy. And those are all sort of a bit hard to come by often at pet rescue centres. So they might end up wanting to get a purebred. So I mean, I know there's no easy answer, Rob, but I know you definitely have a view on being concerned about getting dogs from pet rescue places. Obviously, there's ups and downs. There's pros and cons for that.
Well, look, yeah, I mean, people often ask me, should I get a rescue dog? What are the advantages? What are the disadvantages? And there are a number of very good advantages. The first thing is that you feel good because you're saving a life. There's no doubt about it. You are going in there. This dog has been surrendered or, you know, one reason or another, abandoned. And you are giving it a second chance of life, and of a good life with you. So that's the big advantage. It makes you feel good that you're doing that. And if you go to a lot of the shelters and rescue places, there's usually a bit of a fee involved. And that money isn't just going to, you know, someone's holiday. It's actually going to help other animals.
Absolutely.
You know, so you're helping the animal that you're rescuing, but you're giving that money up to another dog as well, another animal that's going to also benefit from your donation. So there's two lives that you're actually helping by doing that. That's the very, very first thing.
But what's the difference between, say, a dog rescue facility and, say, a council pound, for want of a better word? I mean, council pound, how long do they hang on to those dogs for?
Every pound has a different policy.
Right.
And I've worked with several pounds, and I'm quite happy with the ones I've worked with because they do hang on to them longer than they're supposed to, I guess, in some instances.
Right.
And a lot of them have now what's called a no-kill policy.
It's great, it is good, but
it doesn't mean that all animals are, you know, kept alive, because some animals have already been destroyed. Their temperaments have been destroyed by the previous owners and experiences, and these animals have become aggressive towards people, and it's very, very hard. It's very time-consuming and very costly to try and rehabilitate these animals. My friend in America, Cesar Milan, does just that. He rehabilitates these what he calls red zone animals that, you know, will quickly venture into an unprovoked attack.
Right.
So unless a rescue organisation has a lot of funds and some very good trainers, these animals often cannot be rehomed. And it's a miserable life being in the kennel forever. And so
they are there because they've been abused or whatever it might be.
And then someone's given them up. And not all the animals that are in pounds and rescue organisations does that happen too. And I've seen some animals where they go into a shelter somewhere or a rescue place and you think, oh, gosh, you know, this animal really is damaged, but there's one person who will take that animal under their wing, work with it, and all of a sudden the animal snaps out of it and you get a really good animal that is very bonded to people. All of a sudden it understands the difference between good people and bad people, I guess, and good treatment and bad treatment. And so that these animals can be rehabilitated. I'm not saying that they can't, but sometimes the situation, both for the shelter and for the animal, means that it cannot be rehabilitated, and as such, it keeps launching into unprovoked attack, often against the staff, would you believe? And so,
sadly,
in those cases, they're damaged too much. And so the no-kill policy refers to an animal that has both is sound in both body and mind. And then they'll hang on to those animals until someone comes, the right home comes along. Because that's the other thing. You might think, yes, I want a rescue animal. You might go along to some of the rescue places and you'll fill in the questionnaire and they'll say, no, you don't fit the bill, not for this type of dog or whatever. One of the disadvantages, of course, is that you'll go along to some of these places and you have to look and you take whatever they've got. You may want a particular breed of dog, of course, and it's not there. There is now, right throughout Australia, I know, and I'm pretty sure it's in America and in England and throughout Europe, a lot of the clubs have their own rescue group. For example, there's the Jack Russell Rescue Organisation.
Oh, right.
There's the German Shepherd Rescue Organisation. And what they do, they usually don't have kennels. Some of them do. I know the Jack Russell Rescue does have a kennel that it uses, but most don't. And what they use are facilities from foster carers. So they'll have, you know, a call. There's a German Shepherd or a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel or whatever it is. They call the club. There's a lost dog or an unwanted dog or a dog that has to be given up because someone's passed it away, whatever reason. And so, you know, someone from the organisation will go and collect that dog, assess it, usually go to a veterinarian. They're usually associated with a veterinarian somewhere and make sure the animal is fit and healthy, vaccinations are up to date, all those things. And then they'll put out the word that they do have a dog looking for a home. So you can actually get the breed you want sometimes. Not all the time. You know, some of these organisations may not have something on their list. Well, you either wait or you go to a shelter and look for something else.
Now, you were telling me a little while ago what the most what the most common sort of breed of dog is in
Yes, it varies from time to time. Right now, the breed are the big American Staffordshire Bull Terriers or the Pit Bull Terriers. I see a lot of those in shelters.
Why?
A lot of them.
Why is that?
I think because people like the look of them, like the idea of having a big, tough dog, but they're, you know, they've given the dog no time, the dog's rambunctious and it's barking and, you know, it's a terrier. You've got to give it the time. You've got to exercise it. You've got to train it. And people don't do that and all of a sudden, oh, well, I don't want that. This is not what I signed up for, they'll say, and they'll surrender the dog. Well, the dog didn't sign up for you, actually. That's the truth of it. The dog signed up for a better home than you could give it if you're surrendering the dog. And you know, God willing, that's what will happen in the shelter. But it doesn't always happen because, again, people don't come along looking for that sort of dog necessarily. And that's, I guess, why I see a lot of them spending a lot of time in the kennel. And so that's a lot of work for the keepers there of the shelter because, you know, they've got their cleaning jobs, their feeding to do, their, you know, checking every animal. And then the ones that are long-term in there, they need to get out of the kennel. Otherwise, they go really crazy in the kennel. And so, you know, getting them into a yard and spending some time with them, maybe even doing some obedience, certainly giving them a bit of training, fetching something. So that's a great form of exercise for a dog. Now, they'll throw the ball for them so the dog can have something else to do other than just sitting in the kennel waiting for the right person to come along and adopt them. But yes, I'm seeing too many of these big terrier type, mastiff types, crossbreds that people have wanted, at least in this country. I don't know if it's the same in other countries, but in this area, that's a common breed and that's a real shame because they're a very loving breed if they're treated properly and trained properly, they can make a good family dog. You know, the other thing you will find if you do come across the right dog in a shelter, because it's had a bit of, you know, been on the merry-go-round and all of a sudden it's been lost, once you form a bond with it, it's a really strong bond with those dogs.
Right, you think another they big know advantage. They're getting a second shot at life.
Well, they seem to. I've seen them time and time again, these rescue dogs forming such a strong bond as if to say thank you. And I don't know if it's what they're doing, but that's what it seems like. Of course, the other big thing, when you do go to a rescue organisation, you tend to get an older dog. So guess what you don't have to do? Very often you don't have to house train them.
Yes.
They usually come house trained. So there's an instant thing that you like.
Plus.
And people,
yeah,
people often say, I don't want to go through the puppy stage anymore with another dog. You know, the puppy stage, they're chewing, they're digging, they're weeing and pooing in the house, and I've got to train all that out of them. So the big advantage of a rescue dog is you don't usually have to do all that. All that's been done for you, and you get a dog that all of a sudden is ideal for you. One of the things I do like people to do, however, is to take those dogs to obedience school. It helps the bond, and it helps the dog realize the right social etiquette that's required.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Fit to be a good family dog.
Is there such a... Do shelters often have litters of puppies that and puppies are available?
Oh, from time to time, yes. From time to time, you do get... No. Well, it's not as rare as it should be. They have a policy where they de-sex animals, but when a female comes in and she's in an advanced pregnancy, they'll often let her have that litter before she's de-sexed and then have to find homes for the puppies. And, of course, there's a disadvantage because you don't know who the dad was. Yeah, so you may not know anything about what how these puppies are going to grow up to be. They they all start off small. You know, a big mastiff starts off as a little puppy, not much bigger than the size of a German Shepherd puppy or a Labrador puppy. But their growth rate, of course, is very, very different and ends up very different at the end of their growth period. So that can be a bit of a disadvantage. The other disadvantage, of course, of wanting a rescue dog, there is some health checks done on it, but it's not all health checks. They're not usually x-rayed for hip dysplasia or anything like that. So you may end up with a dog that has some problems that will require surgery or some sort of veterinary interference, and it's going to cost you money if that's the case. I mean, how do you know what the experiences are that this dog's had? Of course you don't. No one knows. And there could be, that's one of the disadvantages, there could be a trigger that could set this dog off on the wrong path of going into an attack. If you know, it could be a vacuum cleaner or a broom or something that's not used to. So one of the things I do often say to people, talk to the shelter or the rescue group and ask if you can spend, firstly, a day with the dog you want that you think is going to be yours. Just take it out for a day in the park, always on a lead. Don't take it off the lead. It doesn't know you. It's not going to come back to you. Leave it on a lead. A day at home with you, maybe a week at home. What are the chances of... Well, a lot of the ethical places will. They'll say, yeah, look, we don't want you to end up with a dog that you're cruel to or a dog that doesn't suit you. And so they'll say, by all means, take it home for a week. If you think you want to go ahead with the adoption, let's go through with it. Or they may say, adopt it now, but if it's not working out for a week, in a week or two, bring it back, you get a full refund.
Okay, here's,
you know, it could be like
here's
that.
A question that any good vet should know the answer to. That's you, Rob. If it is,
you're sure about
if
that?
If you're looking at a dog and you really like it,
yep.
How does a vet or how does anybody have a rough idea of how old that dog is? Because, you know, if I've got this dog and I think I'm going to fall in love with it, but it's already 9 or 10 years old that might affect my decision on one that I like that's only 3 or 4 years old.
That can be a disadvantage. There is one way that is possible to absolutely define the birth date of that dog, and that's if the dog has had a microchip placed, as it should have, as a youngster, that microchip would have the date of birth registered. So if the microchip's been placed and it's been on the register, it will tell you the date of birth and you'll know the exact date of birth of that animal. So that's great. That's a good plus for microchips. If there's no microchip, you look at the teeth. And depending, again, you know, if the dog's been biting at rocks, literally biting rocks and wire and things, the teeth may look very worn and you may think he's older than he really is. It's not possible. In horses, for example, you can really look at the teeth and tell the age of the animal. Same in sheep. Yeah, you can look at the teeth and tell the... Oh, no, there's a special dental formula in horses that, you know, which teeth erupt at what age. And then once all the teeth have erupted, there's a groove that starts called Galvain's groove on the side of one of the teeth, and you see how far that's going down. And you can get, you know, experienced people can really get extremely close to the age of that horse. And you can certainly do it with sheep as well. But dogs, not so much, unless if they've got baby teeth. They lose all their baby teeth, the deciduous teeth, by 6 months. So after that, it becomes the condition of the teeth, you know, just how much they've erupted down, those sort of things. To some extent, you can tell in the first year of life. After that, it's very, very difficult to be accurate with dentition as to how old the animal is. I guess it's experience and just knowing dogs, you tend to get a rough feeling of, oh, look, he's under five or he's more than five, he's more than six. You do get a feeling when you look at a lot of other things that will tell you certainly the very old dogs, the amount of greyness around the muzzle will often give you a big hint of how that's a geriatric. Yeah, but the microchip is an ideal way. Hopefully the dog's been microchipped from as a puppy and registered, and they will always register the date of birth of that dog, or at least the year that the microchip was inserted as a puppy, and you'll know the age of that animal.
I mean, microchips are supposed to happen with every dog now, aren't they?
It's pretty much compulsory. In most Western countries and throughout Europe, microchips are compulsory. They're certainly in Australia and in America, in England, they are compulsory. Breeders do it, or are supposed to do it, straight away. So it's a very, very useful tool for not just lost dogs, but dogs that have been rehomed.
Yeah, so there's certainly a lot to consider when you're looking at those gorgeous little faces with their sad eyes looking back at you through the cages when you go to those sorts of places, which is always tough because you know they've had a home and it hasn't worked, and now they're here.
It breaks my heart. Yeah. I do, as I said, do voluntary work at some shelters. Yeah. And it just breaks my heart. You want to bring them all home.
That's exactly right.
It's a really tough gig doing that. In fact, that some people start volunteering at these shelters and they just can't do it. They cannot do it. It's not because they don't love the dogs. It's because they love too many dogs too much, yeah. Have to sort of say,
I
have to walk away. I'll do other things. I'll sell T-shirts for the shelter or get some money for it in some way. But it's difficult because fostering and behaviour training is not part of every shelter or rescue group, but that's one of the things that we like. But it's also up to the new owner. So you as a new owner, or if you've got someone that wants to get a dog from a shelter, encourage them to do so. But make sure it's A, the right breed for them. Think about that. They really should think about, is it the right breed? Do I have the cost? Do I have the time? And am I going to commit real time to this animal? Am I going to really spend some time walking this animal and training it? That's actually one of the advantages of having a foster dog. Straight away, bang, you're out there on the streets, walking along straight away every day. And so it's good for your health, very good for your health. You get to 10,000 steps in no time.
Yeah. The other part of this discussion, of course, which is, for people who want a purebred, and that will vary from breed to breed as to what to look out for. But most times you would probably pick a puppy from a litter, I'm guessing, wouldn't you, Rob?
Yeah, look, it's probably the most common way of getting a purebred, and people want to have a Labrador and they'll get a puppy and start from scratch with it. And hopefully they need to understand that they still have to commit a lot of time to this puppy, and probably more time, but in a different way. And eventually they do have to go to training school and the other things if you want to make it a good family dog. Sure, you can have it sitting in the backyard. You can have it sitting on the lounge. No Labrador would ever refuse a space on the lounge. But they get so much more. The animal gets so much more, and the family gets so much more, and you will get so much more out of owning a dog if you spend some time training it. You will honestly thank me for pushing you into it. You will really have a great time. So do it. You get a dog, go to an obedience class. Don't send it off for training, but go to obedience classes somewhere and let someone train you, train the dog.
All right, there really is a lot to think about with both sides of this discussion about whether it be a shelter dog or a purebred. Hopefully we've helped you sort of think about what works for you. We've kind of run out of time for this episode.
If you're not sure if you want a purebred or a crossbred or a rescue dog, the best thing to do is firstly rescue a dog, train it, keep it, then go and buy yourself a pedigree puppy and train that and see which one you want to keep.
What
and
a great
give away
idea.
The one that, give away the one you don't want to give.
Yeah, then yeah, take keep. One back to the shelter. No, no, we don't.
Yeah, 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 sure.
Don't really mean that. Anyway,
listener from the Doggy Pod would do that.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Anyway, thank
That's why I love you guys. Thank you very much for listening and making us number one in the pet and animal podcast in Australia. That was just
2 weeks ago.
That was awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Which is greatly appreciated. And please subscribe. That means a lot to us as well. And once again, I think I've mentioned this before. If you scroll down to the bottom of the your app, I think certainly with Apple podcasts, scroll down to the bottom, you can leave a quick little review. That's really nice. We love reading those. Anyway, thank you for listening, and we will be back shortly with another episode.
Talk soon, folks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.